Hello! WMUC present Boris Quick Learn Russian Guide. Very quick, you learn Russian, no time. So good.
Side 1.
Hello. You're listening to 90.5 WMUC FM College Park. I'm the Pangea Project, where every week we spotlight a different genre from a different country, and this week we're focusing on British post-punk. So to kick things off, we're going to start with The Smiths, obviously. Enjoy. Okay, I hope you enjoyed that. That was The Smiths, How Soon Is Now, off of their Hateful of Hollow album. So what is post-punk? Well, the term doesn't have a universally agreed upon definition, which is why I have like a few iffy songs like sprinkled out throughout the hour. But it kind of emerged when the initial shock of punk kind of like wore down. And so a lot of artists wanted to like see, you know, how far they could push the limits. Like they tried to be like super artsy and, you know, avant-garde. And they also focused on like their visual identity. That's why if you think of like David Bowie, he's like really like visually striking. Or if you think of like The Cure, they're like super gothic looking. So like it wasn't just about the music, but also how they looked. But what's different between punk rock and post-punk was that punk rock was more about rejecting the old, and post-punk is more about taking inspiration from retro music, but also being futuristic. And I think something that plays a huge part in that is the role of the synthesizer. At that point, it's like the 70s or 80s, the synthesizer became way more accessible and cheaper. So a lot of artists were like experimenting with it. And that's why when you listen to post-punk, it sounds futuristic, but also has like the reminiscent sounds of like disco and prog rock. And also post-punk musicians, a lot of them went to art school and were like super knowledgeable about like philosophy and theory. So that's why if you listen to a lot of the lyrics, it's like, you know, references to like literature, artists, poets, you know, existential dread. But yeah, I think this art-driven scene, what's unique about it is that it kind of united like working class punk kids and like artist boho middle class kids. So yeah, just think of them as like the rebellious teenager genre of like the 70s and 80s. But yeah, next up we have Golden Brown by The Stranglers and Mannequin by Wire. Enjoy.
Texture like sun lays me down. With my mind she runs throughout the night. No need to fight, never a frown with golden brown. Every time, just like the last, on her ship, tied to the mast. Two distant lands, takes both my hands. Never a frown with golden brown. Golden brown, fine temptress. Through the ages she's heading west. From far away, stays for a day. Never a frown with golden brown. Thank you.
Okay, next up, we're going to listen to some Fontaine's DC. Selfishly, they're not actually British post-punk. They're more like Irish post-punk revival because they literally formed like only a couple years ago. So maybe I should have called it like UK post-punk. But I chose them because, I mean, yes, I like them, but also I think they're a good example of what forms of post-punk maybe sounds like today. I guess it's not fair for me to say that they're post-punk because they actually stated that they want to stay away from like strict labels and things like that. But I do think that they have like that punk sound. But yeah, they're named after Fontaine, which is actually a character in The Godfather. I've never watched the movie, but you know, if anyone listening knows the movie, I don't know. I guess that's a fun fact. But they added the DC after because they realized that another band in LA had the same name. So the DC actually stands for Dublin City. And a fun fact about Dublin, or I guess Ireland as a whole, they're home to some of the greatest writers. James Joyce, Oscar Wilde, and W.B. Yeats. That's why a lot of, I guess specifically Fontaine's DC is so lyrically like good. Like they're just good writers, and they actually formed because of their love of poetry. So I don't know, I just really want to go to Dublin so bad because they actually have the oldest pub in the world. It was literally made in 900 AD and they still serve. So yeah, that's crazy. But up next is Fontaine's DC, Roman Holiday, and then Bug.
side, cause I want to get. Didn't I say I wanted to get? Honey, I changed before you, yeah. 28 years I come unto end. The rain chased me down the gully again. Now I'm higher than anyone here, and there ain't nothing on me, yeah.
Okay, that was Bug by Fontaines D.C. I hope you like them as much as I do. But like I said before, there's no clear definition of post-punk, so the next song is a bit iffy. I would say it's more shoegaze and indie-like. It's When You Sleep by My Bloody Valentine, but this band takes inspiration from post-punk bands. The lead singer actually cited The Cure and Joy Division as inspiration. They're actually the inventor of shoegaze music, in my opinion, in like the West, I would say. And then after that, we'll listen to Love My Way by the Psychedelic Furs. They are actually post-punk, it's just that they're more psychedelic and have a more pop-leaning edge, which kind of makes them stand out against the more gothic and dark tracks that I'll play later on in the hour.
All right, here's When You Sleep by My Bloody Valentine.
We'll be right back. You're listening to 90.5 WMUC-FM College Park.
Okay, so that was Love My Way by the Psychedelic Furs. I hope you enjoyed. So the next topic that we're going to get into is the famous The Smiths versus The Cure rivalry. These two bands are probably the pillars of post-punk. Morrissey is a lead singer of The Smiths, and Robert Smith is a lead singer of The Cure. But basically, the rivalry is more of like, I guess, fan-induced, but I will say Morrissey did start it. He would mock them all the time in the press, calling The Cure's music overproduced, you know, like, I guess, pretentious or, like, performative, and also saying some not-okay things about Robert Smith that I cannot say on air. But as I said, it mostly stems from, like, the fan identity. It's, like, almost like a personality test. Which one do you like? The Smiths versus The Cure, irony versus intensity. It's, like, if you like The Smiths, then you're ironic and self-loathing. And if you like The Cure, you're, like, all about feelings, drama, eyeliner, and, like, goth. And something that I will say is that The Cure did age way better. So I guess they like kind of won the rivalry because Morrissey is not very well liked by anyone. He has a lot of offensive statements. I would call him chronically contrarian. He basically, if a lot of people take a stance on one thing, he's just going to take the opposite stance just to piss people off. And I think that's an issue because the Smiths meant a lot to marginalized communities. So it kind of felt like a clash and an insult to the way that Morrissey acts. But they do have some common ground, though. They both emerged from working class England and they both played huge, huge instrumental roles in the rise of post-punk. So enjoy Love Song and Boys Don't Cry by The Cure and then Big Mouth Strikes Again by the Smiths.
We'll be right back.
Okay, that was Big Mouth Strikes Again by the Smiths off of the Queen is Dead album. Before we introduce the next two songs, let's listen to a quick PSA.
Hey, UMD students. Worried about possible sexually transmitted infections? Did you know that you can get tested for an STI completely free? The University Health Center is offering free STI testing events on the ground floor of the University Health Center. Go to www.helpumd.edu to search for upcoming dates. So go get tested and be a healthy turd.
Okay, important stuff there. Make sure to get STI tested. But the next two songs is going to be Love Will Tear Us Apart by Joy Division and Enjoy the Silence by Depeche Mode. Two very important songs for the post-punk scene, I would say. Enjoy.
Thank you. crashing in into my little world. Painful to me, it's right through me. Don't you understand? Oh, my little girl.
So to close out the show, the next song we're going to do is very post-punk. It sounds upbeat when you, like, listen to it, but once you, like, actually, like, I don't know, listen to the lyrics, you'll see that it's, I guess, sadder, and it's a critique on forced domestic happiness and social norms, which is very, very post-punky. The next song is Happy House by Susie and the Banshees, and if you're a Weeknd fan, I almost guarantee that you'll actually recognize a song. And then after that, enjoy some slightly iffy post-punk tracks, songs that live in the genre's afterlife, showing how it continues to inspire indie, pop, and electronic music. I'm the Pangea Project. Thank you for listening.